Hazrat Maulana Mufti Azhar Hussain Ilyasam Hafizahullah, who is an author of over 200 books, and alhamdulillah, most recently you will find the Quran Made Easy, a very simplified translation of the Quran Kareem, and also many other books which are available at the Al Ansar Bookshop, or you could actually contact our learned scholar of Sharia, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Abdul Hussain Ilyasab, Hafizahullah, for most of his publications. To begin this program, we'd like to welcome our learned scholar, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mufti Sahib, we would like to ask you for forgiveness. We have been running quite late this morning. We hope that you do forgive us for that. But Mufti Sahib, inshallah, you will still have your full 25 or 30 minutes with our morning's program. Mufti Sahib, we request our learned scholar perhaps to speak to us on Salah or the word Salah itself. Mufti Sahib, bismillah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, we get a Quranic ayat which clearly states, وَأَقِيمُ السَّلَاةِ إِنَّ السَّلَاةَ تَنْحَى عَنِ الْفَاشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. The ayat translates very simply, that وَأَقِيمُ السَّلَاةِ, that establish Salah. And verily, Salah will prevent you, will keep you away from fasha. Fasha means anything that is immodest and iniquity, meaning anything that is detested or abominable. Now, as far as Aqimus Salah, it's very interesting to understand how this first, the word Aqimus Salah came about. The Arab, when water is moving, Arab will regard that as moving water, like how we also regard it, and water that is not stagnant, water that is flowing. Now when that water begins to stop, that water begins to halt, and when that water stops, then the Arab will say that قام الماء, meaning that the water has stood up. Translating it, that the water that was moving has stood up. The water that was flowing has stood up. And the water that was going at any pace has now all of a sudden stood up. They call that ice water. When they say Kamul Ma, they refer to as ice water now. Now we know ice, when it is obviously solid, it is firm. It is a thing that does not move. And it is solid. Ice is very, very solid. Now, when we maintain a temperature, then that ice will remain solid, firm, established. The same verb is used now, وَأَقِيمُ السَّلَةِ, that establish your salah, meaning that be firm on it, be regular in it, be constant. Like how that ice water, when we are keeping it at a certain temperature and we keep it at a certain degree of coldness, then it will remain ice. Similarly, we must be extremely cautious about our salah and keep it regular for the desired results. Now, if that ice, you do not keep that ice at a certain temperature, it will become water and it will flow away. It will melt away. It will no more have the status of ice. Similarly, if our salah we do not perform it regularly and constantly, firmly, steadfastly, then our salat will not have the same desired effect that it's supposed to have. Because the salat has to produce certain effects, a certain result. So this result will come when the salat, first of all, is established, meaning that it is done with all the faraiz the wajibat, the sunnah, the preferred actions, when the salat is performed properly, then inshallah we will get the desired results. Otherwise we are not going to get the desired results. That is the case these days, that because firstly of irregularity of salat performance, non-constant salat performance, then we do not get the proper results. Secondly, that when we perform our salat, we do not perform it, we do not establish it like how it's supposed to be established, meaning we do not do it properly. Inshallah, I will speak more about this as soon as I explain this word salat. First of all, this word salat has got three basic root letters, sawad, lam, ha. Now, if we have to go to any dictionary and look at this word salah, then we will find that it means to set right, to correct, to rectify, to put back onto track, to reform, anything to do with betterment, anything to do with renaissance, anything to do with the reformation, anything to do with rectification, anything to do with correction, you will find that it has got these root letters, sawad, lam, ha. Now, the Arab, how he should utilize this word, it is very, very interesting. We should try to imagine and pay attention, and then we can enjoy fully how he utilized this word. If he wanted to straighten a crooked wood, for example, he had a crooked piece of wood and he wanted to straighten it, then he followed a certain procedure. What he did was, firstly, he dug a groove or a furrow in the ground. Now, can you imagine, he has dug a groove, he has taken out the sand, the soil. Then he places his crooked piece of wood over that furrow. And the soil that he has taken out from that slot or from that furrow, he places it above the crooked piece of wood. Now, above the soil, he places live cinders. He places what we term as hot coal. And because he understands the proceeding or the procedure of straightening the wood, he regulates the heat from above by the number of cinders, the heat of the cinders, the coal. If we look at a cross section, what we get a groove, and above the groove we get a crooked piece of wood, and above the crooked piece of wood we get the soil which was taken out from the groove. We get that soil, and above the soil we get the live cinders. Now the person modulates the heat, regulates the heat, controls the heat to such an extent that eventually by this heat process the crooked wood straightens. Now this crooked wood straightens and falls down and slots into the slot. It drops into the groove that this person has made initially. Now the person who's observing from outside, he knows exactly when that crooked piece of wood has straightened. Why? Because it will naturally fall into the slot. When it will fall into the slot, out from outside, it will level up, and the soil that was now jutting out will fall with that crooked piece of wood which has straightened into that slot. So what has happened? That crooked piece of wood has straightened and fallen literally into that slot, the soil on top of it. So the Arab, in delight and in enjoyment that his now work has been accomplished of straightening that crooked piece of wood, he shouts out in ecstasy. He cries out in ecstasy, Salu al-Hatab, that the wood has straightened. The crooked wood has straightened. Again, he uses again the in the verb, say the root letter swad lam ha, to denote the process of rectification has reached termination, meaning that that wood which he has set out to straighten has now become straightened. Similarly, salat having these three letters swad lam ha means that if it is performed properly, provided we are sincere about it, we are devoted about it, then all our evil can be rectified, all our bad can be corrected, all our wrong can be set right, every crooked action behavior can be straightened. This crookedness which is in every person, which is hidden in every person, the crookedness, whether it relates to belief, whether it relates to character, whether it pertains to personality, whether it is concerning business, will be rectified, will be straightened by the performance of Salat. So Salat performance will rectify everything. I will start giving you examples just now. However, see, there is a hadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam which says and discusses about the heart, and most people know about it, that fi jasadi buzghatun, that in the body there is a piece of flesh or a lump of flesh, in saluhat, that if it is good. Again, you see that the verb has got these three letters, swad, lam, ha, that if it is good, that the whole entire body will be good, and if it is bad, fasadat, then the whole entire body will be bad. Allah, hi al-qalb, that be cautious, be aware, or take note that it is the heart. So now, yes, in this hadith, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is using the same root letters, swad, lam, ha, for the correction of the heart. That if the heart is good, if the heart is in proper function, if the heart is removed, and cleansed of all filth and dirt and muck and jealousy and hatred, and if the heart is sincere and devoted, and if the heart is full of zikr, and if the heart is filled with the remembrance of Allah, and if the heart is focused on the akhirat, then inshallah the whole entire body will also be in the same way. Now, when our salat is done for the pleasure of Allah, when our standing, our ruku, our sijda is done only for the pleasure of Allah, then inshallah we will begin to become straightened. Salat, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given a very beautiful example, and we know the hadith, but at times we do not understand the great significance behind it. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that if there is a river flowing outside your home, and if you bathe in it 5 times a day, will there be left any impurity? Obviously not. No impurity will be left. But now, let us understand the meaning of this hadith. That if a person, for example, he sleeps and then after getting up, he performs his Fajr Salat, that means he is awakened to remove any impurity, physical, spiritual, and he is cleaning himself. After doing some work, then he goes to the next river, and the next river, Zohar time now. He meets the next river, again he bathes. So that you, from the time of waking up, transacting, doing business, engaging in worldly activities, he now has to proceed and go and take another remembrance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, another bathe, another ghusl, another cleansing, another purging by the performing of Zuhr Salat. So the impurity that he received or he got consciously or unconsciously between Fajr and Zuhr by mixing with the world and the people of the world, he cleans it at Zuhr time. Then he goes back now and he works. And anything he does between Zuhr and Asr, and we got Zuhr, Asr and Maghrib quickly, because those are the times of negligence of a person due to excessive business. And also during that time he is bound to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed Zuhr, Asr and Maghrib very quickly, so that he does not have a chance to forget Allah Rabbul Izzat. He is constantly given an opportunity that quickly go back, perform your Salat, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then go after Maghrib, partake your meal, because basically in the Quran Kareem we have a concept that the day is made to earn living and the night for resting. So from Maghrib to Isha there is the period of eating, and then he will perform the Isha so he can rest and he can prepare himself for the performance of Fajr. I was telling you that the Salat is a rectification action. It is a most superior Ibadat of all the Ibadat. When we draw parallel discussions between Salat, Zakat, Hajj and fasting, then the Ulama Ikram are unanimous that Salat earns and reaps the most reward, and Salat is the most superior of all the Ibadats. Now a person, he stands up for Salat. Now when he stands up for Salat, he says the Takbir Tahrima, Allahu Akbar, that Allah is the greatest. Now immediately in his mind, what's supposed to be flashing and what's supposed to be coming in his heart, that only Allah is greatest. And Allah Rabbul Izzat has got all the power in his hands. Everything is in the might of Allah. Allah is the doer, and Allah alone is the doer. Allah is the giver, and only Allah is the giver. And no might, no taqat is greater than Allah. No power is greater than Allah. And I am standing in Salat because of this fact that only Allah is the one deserving and worthy of worship. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I should stand and go in ruku and go in sijda for ibadat, for worship, for His pleasure alone. No other being, no other power, no other deity is worthy of worship, is worthy of standing at ruku and sijda for purpose of worship, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now in his heart and in his blood, what must be going, like what has gone through the Sahaba, as they were the and pupils and disciples and murids of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who taught them that even if they are in the minority, but Qudrat is in the hands of Allah, Taqat is in the hands of Allah, power is in the hands of Allah, success is in the hands of Allah, victory is in the hands of Allah, humiliation is in the hands of Allah, dignity is in the hands of Allah, everything is in the hands of Allah. Standing in Badr, where they were the minority, 313 against 1,000, they knew fully well that success is in the hands of Allah who gave them success. So the numerous expeditions, the numerous battles, and in most of them, Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, they were in the minority. They were against maximum odds, and they were ill-equipped, whilst the enemy were fully equipped. But their focus was on this, that Allah is the greatest. And in the hands of Allah, just like Musa alayhi salam faced the Firaun of the time, and Musa alayhi salam was victorious, while Firaun had the power and the ammunition and the military and the might, but Allah gave victory to Musa alayhi salam and his people because of the aqidah, because of the belief that Allah is the doer, that Allah is the one who gives the victory, not the military, not the might, not the external things, not the external asbab, but the internal asbab of iman, of faith. Then if we look at salat again, that everything that we are doing in the salat is rectification of the aqidah, that we're praising Allah alone, we're making ruku for Allah alone, we're making sijda for Allah alone. So all these basic activities that we are doing, in salat itself, there are three basic activities, three basic postures, that is the standing, ruku and sijda. The qiyam, the qawma and the jalsa, these are auxiliary actions of salat. They are not the principal actions of salat, and the principal actions definitely are the three. Then if we look carefully, our attahiyyat has got three portions. We've got the attahiyyat itself, the durood, the Ibrahim, and then the dua. Now, and if we look at the attahiyyat itself, that has got three portions also. The praising of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, acknowledgement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the passing of salams unto the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the pious people, and also the testification of Tawheed. So these actions, for example, why we stand in Salat, then we go in Ruku, then we go into Sijda, inshallah in the near future we will try to discuss them, why actually we have these three postures. For now, alhamdulillah, what has been mentioned, that we have explained that the Salat, where it came from, what it means, and provided we perform it how it's supposed to, then we will get the desired result, then it will prevent us from fasha and munkar. It will prevent us from immodest actions. It will prevent us from the detested actions. Now, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated one hadith that if we do not perform our salat properly, then our salat is thrown back to us like a wet, dirty, filthy, soiled, crumpled rag. It is flung back onto our faces. It is also stated that our salat should be and must be performed with what we call ta'dil arkan. Ta'dil arkan means that making the postures how it's supposed to be done, with coolness, with calmness, properly. And it is also stated that, inshallah, you should remind me in the near future, that we should not perform, the males should not perform salat like three animals. Like three animals, the salat should not be performed. Let me mention a few things about Ta'dil al-Arkan, and then inshallah we can conclude. Ta'dil al-Arkan is a technical term meaning that every posture must be done with ease. Meaning that, for example, a person goes from standing to ruku, then this should be done with ease, and when he comes out of ruku and stands, then this should also be done with extreme ease and care. And he should not move so fast that there is no qiyam, no coma. And when he goes into sijda, then he should not be moving too fast. Between the sijdas, there should be that jalsa also, that sitting. And if he does not do this, according to Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Alayh, the Ta'dil al-Arkan is farz. Meaning if he does not do this, then there is no salat in itself. According to Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayh, the Ta'dil al-Arkan is wajib, compulsory. If a person does not do this in salat, then he has to make a sijda sahu. Sijda sahu, if he does not do that means his salat is technically not in place, not valid. Our appeal and our request to those who are especially regular in salat, that you are going for salat, you are making an effort to leave your home, and in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if a person makes wuzu at home and proceeds to the masjid, then he is like one who has adorned the ihram and will get the reward of an umrah. So can you imagine how easy it is to earn sawab? It's one speciality of Islam. Little deeds produce much sawab. Small actions give a lot of sawab. And there are books written on this, that how small actions give us a tremendous amount of sawab. And one of this is making wuzu at home. We are habitual, unfortunately, and spoiled that we want to make wuzu in the wuzu khana of the masjid. This is not a very good habit and a good practice. The wuzu khana in our masajid, they are there for emergency purposes. If a person forgot or was due to hurry, he went to the masjid without wuzu, for him is those facilities. Those who come out from the homes and have got enough time in their homes should be making their wuzu at home and proceeding to the masjid. Nevertheless, that when we are making so much of effort going to the masjid, then our salat should be done with all, at least all the external of the salat should be made properly and with due consideration for the sunnah, for the wajibat and the farais. Imagine, we make so much effort going to the masjid, but unfortunately do not perform salat how it's supposed to be performed. And the day we perform salat how it's supposed to, then we'll enjoy certain amount of sweetness, and there'll be pleasure in performing salat, and there'll be some immediate pleasure and satisfaction of the heart in performing salat. You will notice that certain people, alhamdulillah, when they perform salah, by just looking at them, you feel happy and you feel comfortable. You who are not in salat, by looking at these people performing salat, you yourself feel comfortable. That's why this hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam stating, meaning that a person who's observing another person in salat, he is equally rewarded. Meaning that he gets the reward of performing salah. Imagine here again, he is not performing salah, but just looking, he also gets rewarded. Jazakallah.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahib. For to our listeners, you are listening to our great scholar of Sharia, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Afzal Hussain Ilyas Sahib, Hafizahullah, who is an author of over 200 books and also who has translated the Quran into English. Right now, Hazrat Mufti Sahib, we have a few questions that have come in. One is pertaining to Salah. This person would like to know that if you have just joined the Salah, actually in Jama'ah, and if the Imam is has already went into ruku or into sujood, how do you actually start your salah, Mufti sir?
A person, if he wants to now join the Imam, remember that he can join the Imam in whichever position the Imam is. For example, let's say the Imam is in sijda, so the person comes, he stands, then he makes, says Allahu Akbar, he folds his hands, and now he'll say another Allahu Akbar, and then release his hands and go away into sijda. Similarly, he will do that if he finds the Imam in ruku or in any other position. There is a small booklet, it's called How to Complete Missed Rakats. The name is How to Complete Missed Rakats. You can get it on our website, alislam.co.za. So I've discussed the mazbuk, late khamma, in all salats and in most cases.
And Mufti Sahib, with regard to the mazbuk, as Mufti Sahib has mentioned, he raises his hands, he folds his hands, so he does not actually have to read the sana at that stage?
No. The standard rule for the mazbuk is that no sana will be recited.
Okay. Mufti Sahib, moving on to our next question, it's with regard to zakat. Can the funds of zakat be used to buying Qur'ans and madrasa kitabs to donate actually to those pupils that are needy, and also stationery, books and pencils and so on?
Provided the recipient, that means the one who is going to receive the kitabs or the stationery, whatever it is, they are ones who are deserving and worthy of zakat, meaning that they should not be given to wealthy ones, wealthy children, meaning those children themselves must not have so much wealth that they are the ones who are supposed to be giving zakat. I'll just tell something about children and zakat. It is very interesting that zakat is obligatory upon a Muslim mature, male or female. So the nabalig, immature child who has got money which is over the nisab, on them it is not obligatory to give zakat, but they can receive zakat, nabalig, that means immature, poor children can receive zakat.
Okay, Mufti Sahib, our final question for this morning relates to sadaqah. Can sadaqah be given to non-Muslims? And perhaps if Mufti Sahib could very briefly define sadaqah.
Concerning this, sometimes inshallah we'll have to do this, maybe in Ramzan. The word, first of all, one is lillah, and what is sadaqah or journey? Sadaqah is like lillah. Sadaqah is like lillah, and it can be given to non-Muslims. For example, generally, when we go to the filling station, and we want to make some charity before our journey, so the attendant, most of cases, is not a Muslim. He helps us, aids us, he fills the car, cleans the windscreen, and he tends to your tires and your oil, etc. Then you make an intention and you give him some money in charity, that Ya Allah, giving him some money make our journey easy, comfortable and safe, free from calamity and accident. Now you make that niyat and you give it sadqa. That sadqa you are giving to non-Muslim. That is permissible.
Hazrat Mufti Sahib, once again we'd like to thank you very much for the time that you have spent with us on the airwaves of IMA Health Radio. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, grant you the best of health, spiritual wealth, and the best in this world and the akhirah. And inshallah, Mufti Sahib, we hope to hear from Hazrat Mufti Sahib inshallah next week, Saturday and Sunday morning. Mufti Sahib, shukran, jazakallah once again. Assalamu alaikum.